China's government introduces even tougher COVID lockdown restrictions, including alarms on people's doors. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Will Bain in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Yes, the authorities in China's commercial hub Shanghai are stepping up their already stringent lockdown restrictions to try and contain a new wave of COVID infections. Millions of people have already been confined to their homes for more than 3 weeks, and the sweeping measures in the engine room of the Chinese economy have caused anxiety on financial markets around the world. With more, here's the BBC's China correspondent, Stephen McDonnell.
Everybody, without exception, who tests positive to COVID and their closest contacts all must go to these centralised quarantine facilities. But there aren't enough places at the moment. So while people are waiting to be sent to these places, these alarms are going to be put on their door so they don't go outside. We're now into, what, week 5 of this lockdown in Shanghai, 25 million people. It's really hitting the Chinese economy very hard.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell. Well, the Shanghai Composite Index actually finished the week just up fractionally, 0.2%. But in Hong Kong, under Hang Seng, another good barometer for sentiment in the region, shares there finished down just over 0.3%. Authorities in France have issued an international arrest warrant for Carlos Ghosn, the former boss of Renault, Nissan and Mitsubishi Car Alliance. He's accused of funneling millions of dollars from Nissan's partner company Renault for his personal use. It's a charge he denies. You might remember Mr. Ghosn is also wanted in Japan, having been arrested there in 2018 and charged with financial wrongdoing. He famously skipped bail and fled to his native Lebanon after hiding in a music case. The BBC's Theo Leggett has followed the case inside and out, if you will, and he brought us up to speed on the latest.
They've been looking at potentially suspicious transactions between a company set up to manage the Renault-Nissan alliance and a car dealership in Oman. And the allegation seems to be that money was channeled through this dealership into companies controlled by the Ghosn family and then used to buy assets, such as, for example, a luxury yacht in the British Virgin Islands. And these allegations aren't particularly new, but the fact that the French authorities think there's enough there to issue an international arrest warrant suggests they're taking them seriously. Carlos Ghosn all along has denied these and other charges of financial wrongdoing.
I guess given what you're saying there then, Theo, the question is sort of why now if all this was already out there? And Mr. Ghosn, as you say, has always claimed that he's been fully open and frank with the French authorities.
Well, this investigation's been going on for a long time. When Mr. Ghosn was arrested abruptly, you know, his great downfall came in Japan in late 2018, Renault began its own investigation into his actions at the head of that company. And they came up with potentially suspicious transactions, which they then passed on to the French investigating authorities. And those investigations have been carrying on ever since. So at some point, they have to decide whether they're going to pursue these and try and get Mr. Ghosn in court. Mr. Ghosn himself, through his lawyers, has always said that he's very happy to stand up and justify himself in a French court. He thinks he would get a fair hearing in France, and France, of course, does not extradite its own citizens, and Mr. Ghosn has a French passport. So it gives him the opportunity, he says, to clear his name. You know, he's always projected what happened in Japan as a politically motivated attempt to remove him from control of the carmaker Nissan. The question is whether he'll ever end up in France, because at the moment he's in Lebanon, he can't leave, and there is actually a judicial ban on him leaving the country. So this international arrest warrant does at the moment seem to be unenforceable.
Yet another twist in what's been a pretty twisty, turny story, isn't it? Theo Leggett, thanks so much
for your time. It's like a slalom course. It's fascinating.
Now, who's your workplace's stalwart? A lifer, part of the furniture, who's been there so long you can't actually really imagine your workplace without them? Well, picture them now, if you will, and then travel with us to Brazil and meet Walter, the employee taking company man to a whole new level. The BBC's Tim Allman is your guide.
Walter Ortman begins every day the same way. He starts with his daily exercises, has a spot of breakfast with his family, and then heads off to work. Walter's been doing this for 84 years, a world record for an employee at the same company.
You have to like work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work.
Walter started working for a local textile firm in 1938 when he was just 15 years old. Since then, he has witnessed, among other things, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, two Gulf Wars, and now a conflict in Ukraine. There have been 15 US presidents, more than two dozen Brazilian presidents, including a few military dictators, but only two British monarchs.
You have to be healthy, so you have to take care of your health. I have been exercising for more than 60 years. I have been taking care of myself all that time. That really helps your body to be strong forever.
Walter has just turned 100 and shows no signs of retiring. They say if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's certainly true for Walter.
Tim Allman reporting that. Well, if you've missed any of our shows this week, do check out our podcast. You can search for the Globe edition of the Marketplace Morning Report wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks to our producers this week, Sarah Hawkins, John Fruin, Leisha Santarelli, Ben Martin's been at the controls in London with the Marketplace Morning Report for the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.